Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Laura W., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Today is Thursday, March 16th, 2023, and today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 68, the very first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly, ending with, "When it made us cocky, it was worse," and we're going to be reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Christy K., The 12 Traditions, Alex K., and readers of the text are Christina M., Penny L.C., and Jody E. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C., and our announcement is Robin P. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 15th, the 10 a.m. meeting, there's actually two of them. There was a little technical glitch. So for the 10 a.m. meeting, the numbers are 20,053, that's 20053, and 20,054, 20054. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Big Book meeting, Thursday, March 16th, the reference number is 20,056, that's 20056. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Christy K. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Christy?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Christy K., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Washington State. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Christy K. I will now ask Alex K. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Alex K., recovered for today, compulsive eater in California, the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name, to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles over personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thanks, Alex K. Thank you for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and please refrain from using the speakerphone function on your phone, as it does interfere with the recording. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 68, the very first paragraph, starting with, "We reviewed our fears thoroughly," ending with, "When it made us cocky, it was worse." I will now ask Christina M. to begin reading and share on that paragraph. Christina.
Thank you so much, Laura. Good morning, everyone. I'm Christina M., compulsive overeater, recovered in Massachusetts. And this is page 68, paragraph 1 of the Big Book. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Hi again, everyone. Christina, compulsive overeater. This paragraph, this is a great paragraph, just like all of these paragraphs have been. And this is helping me to start to see my fears in a new way. Because even before I came to OA, I always knew that I was a fearful person. And then my whole life I had been plagued with fear and anxiety over many things, people, relationships, situations. But this paragraph gives me directions to put all these fears down on paper. And for me, this was even more powerful than seeing my resentments on paper, because I could see that fear was underneath all of it. And there was just something so powerful about seeing page after page after page of my fears, and how, like it says in the previous paragraph, that the fabric of my existence was shot through with it. Fear was everywhere. And it goes on to direct me to ask myself, why did I have these fears? And wasn't it because self-reliance failed me? And for me, this was new information, because, you know, for me growing up, I learned to be extremely self-reliant. And I thought this was a good thing. I was told this was a good thing. And I believed, for my whole life that this was actually protecting me from difficulty, that self-reliance was going to keep me safe from difficulty and problems. And what I learned in the process of examining my fears in this way is that self-reliance, as I understood it, would fail me every time. And it did fail me every time, and it does fail me every time. And self-reliance means exactly that. It's relying on myself for everything. It means I'm responsible for all the outcomes and results, and it really is a scary place to be. It's finite, it's limited, and inevitably, it just leaves me feeling alone and isolated. So this process, you know, is setting me up for a much better way, which we'll get to in the next paragraph, so I won't read ahead, but it's just, you know, it's hinting at a much better way for me to be in the world where I don't have to be, you know, dominated and controlled by fear in the same way. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I look forward to hearing what everyone else has to share, and I will pass with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Christina M. Thank you so much for getting us started. In a moment, I'm going to open the lines up for people to share. But please remember that although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please hold back and let other voices be heard. And I'm going to ask for your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. So who would like to share on that paragraph today?
Wendy B.
Wendy B. If you'd like to share, press star 1 to unmute your phone.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Gotcha.
Jody E. from California.
Jody E.
Liz A.
Liz A. I'll take one more in this lineup.
Ann B.
Carla C.
Ann B. and Carla C. We're going to stop it right there for a moment. Okay, so great lineup. I've got Wendy B., Deborah G., Jody E., Liz A., Ann B., and Carla C. Wendy B., please press star 1 and share with us.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and I'm relating to the line, self-reliance failed us this morning. And before program, you know, I did think of myself as a failure. You know, I was never good enough. I was always comparing myself with others and seeing myself as less than, you know, looking at others' outsides and not measuring up. And, you know, I made a lot of unwise choices, you know, and the consequences started piling up. And, you know, I didn't know how to live a successful life. You know, I felt the weight of my incompetency, you know, and saw the mess I made of my relationships and my life. And, you know, I was very aware that in myself, you know, I had no power to live life well, you know. And when I became a believer in God and decided to surrender to His show, you know, run His way, you know, He lifted the burden off of my shoulders. You know, I no longer had to try to look good and measure up to anyone else's standards. You know, He took me as I was and loved me and proceeded to help me live a life on a different basis. And, you know, I'm no longer relying on my insufficient self, you know, but relying on His all-sufficiency. He's the one with the master plan. You know, He has a bit part that He wants me to play, and He's promised to provide me with everything I need to play that part. You know, He's giving me the will and the power to align myself with His plan and let Him live through me to be of service to others. And, you know, it's no longer about my ego. You know, it's about all the glory and praise going to God. You know, He's the one doing all the work through me. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Wendy B. from Arizona. Up next is Deborah G., followed by Jody E. Deborah, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much for your service this morning, leading us and everyone's service, and making this meeting possible for all of us. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. Oh, it's just a wonderful way to live. And I was thinking with the shares how I was so caught up in fear. It was such a huge obstacle from my connection with God, connection with power, connection with my source, and lived like that and was driven and wanting to control and fix and, you know, and I can still go there, you know. It's just that, and being driven by selfish self-centeredness over and over and over, the suffering that I felt. No wonder I was going to food, because of the suffering I was feeling from being in that place. And so today, after going through the steps and seeing that, being more clear on that, and that was the beauty of it, where I was able to see my self-reliance, where I wasn't connected, I wasn't trusting. You know, I had to really get a clear concept, a clear connection with that divine loving presence that I have today. And I still can separate myself, but I know it's always there to go back to. When I do, it doesn't feel good. It just, you know, I feel like I'm out there somewhere. And then through you, through prayer and meditation, through 10 steps, through taking all these actions, it brings me back from self-reliance to God-reliance. Every time I do a 10-step, I read that page 68, starting perhaps, and it just awakens me again, because I go asleep. I go asleep in that selfish self-centeredness, and that fear just blankets all that. And then when I wake up, oh, I can breathe again and feel that I'm being taken care of and trusting, because I want to be used. Use me, use me, use me, so I can help others after going through all that experience and having that continually sometimes. I can help others to get on the other side too. Oh, what
gentle
a
reminder.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Thanks for your share. Up next is Jody E. from California, followed by Liz A. Jody, please go ahead and share with us.
Thank you so much, Laura. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So, yeah, fear, the evil corroding thread that has woven its way through the tapestry of my life. It has. And it still can, as I've heard on the line this morning already. I am not immune to fear. I am human, and it can come back, as can my other defects of character, that such as selfishness, dishonesty, and self-seeking. They do come back at times, and I have this wonderful way of addressing them with the 10th step. And when they do come back, when my fear comes back, I look at how I am relying on myself rather than on my higher power. It's kind of a natural thing, I guess, for me to do, is to lapse into feeling like I'm in charge and I have to handle this. I have to manage this situation rather than abandoning myself to God. And God, here I am. I'm not perfect. I'm a human being and I make mistakes. I am lazy at times, you know, and I am what I am. But God can still use me. Even with all my defects of character, God can and does use me. And the more I can get out of God's way and just put myself like putty in his hands and offer myself, not by shrinking away from my responsibilities and my opportunities, but by accepting them and feeling the fear and doing the next right thing anyway, suiting up and showing up, rather than isolating myself or shrinking back. I don't hide my light under a bushel. I bring it out into the open and trust that my higher power will use me as he will. And, you know, it doesn't always work perfectly, but I trust that as I do this and I keep moving forward, together, my higher power and I are becoming more effective over time. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jody E. from California. Thanks for your share. Before Liz A. goes, just reminding everybody where we are. We're on page 68 of the big book, the first paragraph, starting with, we reviewed our fears thoroughly, ending with, when it made us cocky, it was worse. And Liz A., please let us know where you're calling from and go ahead and share.
Hi, this is Liz A. from Los Angeles, California. Thank you, Laura, for your service. The fears, as someone else shared, when I did my fear inventory, it was much more powerful than my resentment inventory. I think that my mother must have been petrified of childbirth, because I think I came out of the womb fearful. As a young child, I was pathologically shy. And as I grew older, being the child of Holocaust survivors, I was taught that I couldn't trust mankind, that at any time, the anti-Semitism would rear its ugly head and I could be murdered. So I really was petrified of living. And I think the way it happened for me, you know, it was that fight or flight response. At first, it became this self-reliance, like, you know, I've got to take care of myself. I'm going to get a career. I'm not going to rely on anyone to take care of me, kind of, you know, bravado. And I'm so smart. That kind of thing happened first. And it was fueled by alcohol, too, because alcohol gave me a lot of courage. And then when that didn't work, what happened was the fear went the other way, and it was flight. And the way I experienced flight was by isolating and by escaping, by avoiding, by eating, by just blotting out my existence. I could not deal with it. And I didn't know that there was a solution. I didn't know that there was a better way to be. I don't want to get into the next paragraph, but yeah, it was, I had no purpose in my life. So I was always reacting, and my reaction always was based on fears, always. And when I reacted out of fear, nothing good ever came of it. And so I had to look at it all, and it was just extremely powerful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Lizay from Los Angeles. Up next is Ann B., followed by Carla C. Ann, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater, Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 18 years. This is such a God shot, this meeting. And this is why I don't like to say I'm recovered. I've been living in fear for days. I made a decision to go to my cousin's funeral in Canada. It's a 2-day drive. I really have a hard time with traveling and with packing. And it's also, you know, there's fear of going over an international border. There's fear of not bringing the right things. There's fear of bringing too much. There's fear of COVID, which I, you know, this is going to be a big COVID exposure. And I'm, you know, I'm slightly immune compromised. And, but I really want to go to this funeral. And and when I'm living in fear, I do all this weird compulsive activity. Like last night, in the middle of the night, I decided to back up my external hard drive. It just like crazy. And it's still not done. This reminder that, you know, if I'm living in fear, I'm not living in faith, right? That's such an important concept in this program. It's such an important source of serenity. It's such an important, you know, just, you know, when I am one of these people who came for the vanity and I lost, you know, 50 pounds, but I stayed for the sanity. You know, the idea of being connected to higher power, bringing peace and serenity, and not being connected with higher power, bringing this kind of weird compulsive activity. And not getting enough sleep and all this stuff that I do all the time. And thank you. And I will try to remember that, you know, fear is relying on myself and that doesn't work. And I will pass.
Thanks, Anne B. from New York. Thank you for sharing with us. Up next is Carla C., and after Carla, we're going to open it up for some more people to share. Carla, can you let us know where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Carla C. from California. Just so grateful to be here. I love this meeting. When I let go of fear, I grow emotionally and spiritually. When I stop turning to food to cover up these fears, I go to people and I go to my higher power, and my higher power gives me the strength, the energy to be who he wants me to be. He gives me the grace, and his grace is sufficient in my weakness. And just so grateful for this meeting, grateful for all the shares, and grateful to be of service. Thanks. It's Carla in California.
Thanks, Carla. Thanks for sharing. Just a reminder, we're on page 68 of the Big Book. Before I take some more names, I just want to let you know that we're reading the first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly, ending with, when it made us cocky, it was worse. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Sandra Maria from Sweden.
UNG.
I'm sorry, was that Anna Maria?
Sandra UNG. Maria from Sweden.
I'm sorry, I'm Elaine, I got you. Who is before Elaine? Anna Maria
Sandra,
from Sweden?
Sandra Maria from
Sandra.
Sweden.
Gotcha. Margo. Sandra Maria from Sweden. I have Elaine G.
Agnes from California.
Margo. I've got Margo.
Alex K.
Agnes from California.
Alex K.
Linnea B.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. I heard Sandra Maria from Sweden, Elaine G., Margo, Alex K. There was somebody that I missed before Linnea B.
Agnes A.
Agnes.
From California.
That's who I missed, Agnes A. Okay, great. So first up is going to be Sandra Maria from Sweden, followed by Elaine G. from, I believe, New York. Sandra Maria, please share with us. Press star one.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yes. So I'm Sandra Maria, compulsive overeater and restrictor. Really grateful to be here. What hit me this day when I heard this message about fear was that this morning I had a lot of resentments, and I just paused and asked God, what is it? What is it behind these resentments? And I realized it was a lot of fears of not having my needs met. I felt very stressed. And even though it was a really challenging day, because I had intention to seek what was behind and see the fears, I was able to make a new path, and I did some adjustments because I needed to put my abstinence first. So I did some adjustments according to the plan for the day at school, and I feel really, really, really grateful that I listened to God and not to, yeah, to any condemnation, that I actually put my abstinence even before school. And I have been effective and done a lot of things according to school, but not, haven't been to all the lessons. And yeah, I just wanted to say, speak this out, because the tension has left a lot. I'm just realizing how important it is for me to be in contact, and no matter what, put my abstinence first. Because if I'm not abstinent, I can't complete any task at school either. I can't live. So I can never put something else before my abstinence, because I will lose my abstinence and then I will lose my life. And today it was possible to choose. So yeah, I just want to speak that out. And besides that, I'm tired, I feel weak, and I have had all these HALT syndromes, like hungry, angry, lonely, tired. But because I have been pausing and using the tools of the program, I am abstinent still today, and I have an intention to continue with that. Thank you so much for being there, and looking forward to hear more of your shares. Thank you.
Thanks, Sandra Maria from Sweden. Thank you for your share. Up next is Elaine G., followed by Margot. Elaine, please press star 1 and share with us for 3 minutes.
This is Elaine G. from New York. Hi, everybody. Glad to be here. I even did this before my prayers. I says I got to get in this meeting. But anyway, talking about this paragraph, I got fears, you know, and the one fear lately is that I'm making this dinner party for my mother that's passed, and, you know, in tribute. And my son tells me, got to be this restaurant or that's it. So I was fearful we weren't going to have this whole thing. And also, when I was growing up, everybody agreed on things with my father, but I never did, you know. I always thought I was right about everything, you know. And I didn't think I had self-centered and selfish, you know. But anyway, and also about my weight. When I first came into the program, I lost 90 pounds, and my family telling me I looked too thin. I went from 20 to an 8. And I don't know why I listened to them, but I'm not going to listen to them anymore. And, because of that, I couldn't stay abstinent. And right now I'm struggling to do my fourth step, you know. It's like I'm getting highly emotional over it. My sponsor doesn't know what to do with me. And so right now we're just reading in the big book, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do here? But anyway, that's it for me.
Thanks, Elaine G. Up next is Margot, followed by Alex K. Margot, please give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Margot, please press star 1 to unmute. We can't hear you.
Hi, Margot B. from New York. Thank you. I didn't realize I was muted.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, everyone, for their service, the comments around the room. Just really grateful to claim my seat. Margot, a compulsive overeater and riddled with fear. I've been riddled with fear since Sunday. Something happened, and I have been doing the work, but it will pass when it needs to pass. It's just this one thing, because I didn't do perfectly, has spiraled me out. And I come back, but the fact that I can feel it in my body, it makes me sad. And I know that it's about some delusion and lie holding me back, which is, if I don't do everything perfect for God, which is hysterical, right? That sentence in itself, then bad things will be happening. And it's just not true. And I need to put all these delusions and lies that I tell myself, that I grew up with myself, that I made up from my experiences what's real. The only thing that's real is God and what he thinks, what he says about me. But I need to be in clear about who he is in my life. And yeah, the fear is getting me, but that's okay. This too shall pass. I'll keep doing the work. It'll lift what it needs to lift. And I know that in the interim, I cannot hurt myself or others around it. And but I can also, I'm so grateful for the awareness that I didn't even know I was in fear until I started listening and hearing. So at least thank God I'm still teachable. So thanks for letting me share and letting me claim my seat.
Thanks, Margot B. from New York. Up next is Alex K., followed by Agnes A. Alex, please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Alex K., compulsive eater in California, recovered just for today. Well, I grew up thinking I had to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, and because there was no one else I could trust to rely on, and I thought that was a good thing, that made me strong, but it really kept me stuck. It prevented me from getting help. I tried to apply my self-reliance and self-will to all my problems, my eating problem and all my other problems. I couldn't see that that was one of my problems, my self-reliance, and thinking I could fix my problems with my thinking, thinking I didn't need help, that I could do everything by myself. And I think that led me to being very fearful. I lived in self-centered fear. I'm so grateful that today I have this wonderful higher power, loving higher power I can rely on. And the more connected I am with my higher power, the less fearful I am. My higher power helps me feel that all is well and that I'm taken care of and loved unconditionally, always safe and protected. So my goal is to continue growing spiritually, growing closer to my higher power and strengthening that reliance and that relationship so I can receive more of these wonderful gifts. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Thanks, Alex K. from California. Up next is Agnes A. from California, followed by Linnea B. Agnes, please go ahead and share with us.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for your wonderful shares. Fear, oh my God. Like I shared, I think it was Monday or last week, I gave away my resentment, fear inventory. And in addition to doing it the way we were asked to do it, or I was asked to do it, I remember just laying down, closing my eyes, and saying, okay, God, you know, give me a list of the things that I'm fearful of. Of course, I had also done the resentment inventory and given it away, and there was an underlying thread of fear being, I'm afraid that I won't get what I want, which was always in the future, which I have no control over, or I'm afraid that I will lose what I have, right? Which I still have, but I'm afraid I'll lose it. So fear turned out to be just paper tigers in future of things that I was afraid of, but had no control over. So that was a big stretch, a big bridge to cross. And then I remembered, hey, all these decades, God has taken care of me. Every December 31, I write down things that I'm afraid of, right? Things that I know I have no control over, things that I say, God, help me with these things. And then a year later, I open up my God box and see these letters to God that said, I have no control over it. I'm going to let go and let you, you know, take care of it. And always, always, those things did not come to pass. Right? Or God's answer to the prayer was yes, no, not right now, or I have something better for you. So that has taught me to lean into faith as opposed to fear, because fear in all its forms really drove my defects of character, made me selfish, made me self-centered, made me dishonest, made me jealous. So in this program, I'm learning not to give in to fear, to put it down on paper, to share it, and to know that the problem is reliance on myself as opposed to an omnipotent, all-powerful, all-resourceful higher power. That's a better place to find serenity and peace. And with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Agnes A. from California. Up next is Linnea B., and then I probably will have some time for a few more shares. We're reading page 68 of the Big Book. We reviewed our fears thoroughly, ending with when it made us cocky, it was worse. Linnea B., please press star 1 and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. This is Linnea B. in Minnesota, recovered compulsive overeater. What a great paragraph. And the first thing that comes to mind for me is when it talks about reviewing my fears thoroughly, the number one fear I had related to compulsive overeating was that I would always be fat, that I would not ever be able to lose the weight. And why did I have this? Because I tried and tried and tried. I tried to manage it. I tried to do something that I was powerless over. And of course, being powerless, that there was no way I was going to be able to do it. And so that just beat me into a state of complete desperation and drove me to Overeaters Anonymous and to a vision for you. Thank you, God, that's where it drove me. Because I was pursuing food into the gates of insanity and death and absolutely hopeless that there was a solution since I had tried and tried and tried. And so I was afraid to even hope, not only that I was, to even hope that I might be able to find recovery. And that kind of fear where I am trying to do something that I'm powerless over. That's big ego going on there, big denial going on there. And to get a crack in the ego, to get a crack in my denial, to surrender at depth in a way that made me willing or allowed me to be willing to turn to a higher power. You know, it says we stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon, you know, and then it talks about how we utterly abandon ourselves to him. So, you know, and those things weren't easy for me to do at all. However, doing them, you know, or having that kind of change in attitude because I was so beaten, lashed, you know, by the addiction, made me able to turn and willing to turn to a higher power. And so today, thank you, God, I can and do, you know, every morning I ask for God to, a number of things, but I ask for God to help me be aware of him all day, to help me have conversation, to help me pause and turn to God and ask. Oh, thank you. And this way of living then, you know, hey, has made a huge difference in my body size and my serenity and my functionality. I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Linnea B. from Minnesota. Looks like we have time for another share, if somebody else would like to share.
Susan M. from Florida.
Susan M. from Florida, you're up. You got 3 minutes.
Thank you so much, Susan M. from Florida. Grateful to be here. And I'm just really thankful for this program, my higher power, and a new way of living. You know, it can get really crazy. This morning has been really hectic, and just lots of things happening with my family and so on. And it's just, I'm so grateful that, you know, I can come back to the steps. I can come back to a meeting. I can come back to my sponsor and fellows and just stay rooted. you know, before things would happen, and I would think of food, and I'd think of how I can control things, and I still get those tendencies sometimes. I mean, the food might be down, but I'm thinking of other things to fix how I feel, you know, but just knowing that I can do the next right thing, even if I don't know what it's supposed to look like to be fully recovered in this particular situation, I just say, hey, I'm feeling a little crazy, I need to get to a meeting, or hey, I'm feeling a little off, I need to do a 10-step, I need to talk to a fellow or something. And I do that, you know, and I circle back to staying rooted in this program, and it keeps me centered. You know, it helps me focus in on the next indicated things. It helps me with the tone of what the next indicated things look like, you know, so kind and loving towards all, gentleness, kindness, you know, pause when agitated or doubtful. These things are so critical, you know, making amends as I go, asking for my defects of character to be removed. Just, it's just a different way of living. And I really need that. This morning was hectic and just, I didn't know where to turn. And so feeling like, you know what, I need to get on this meeting. I need to hear, you know, shares. I need to hear from people and see what the next things are. So yeah, just grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Susan from Florida, Susan M. We have time for a 2-minute share if somebody would like to take the last 2 minutes.
Linda W.
Linda W. All right.
Yeah.
You close us out.
Yeah,
you got
from
2 minutes.
Las Vegas. Fear. I just did, this paragraph really rang a bell. I never took the opportunity of really writing these fears down or try to understand them. I just kind of fluffed them over. And this paragraph really stood out to me, and I want to thank everybody for being here for me. And I'll start to write and then think about it, because I have had problems staying with this program, and I want to keep on with this program. So God help me, and thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Linda W. from Las Vegas. We have time for one more minute if somebody wants to do a quick 1-minute share. Anyone want to take a last minute? Otherwise, we will stop the sharing.
Shandel from New York.
Shandel from New York. Go ahead. You got 1 minute.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this meeting. I got on late. I just want to share my own thing for 1 second. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New York. My daughter, whatever, she has cancer, and she's in the hospital right now. She's doing well, thank God. So I'm just putting my trust and my reliance on God, and this meeting really gives me so much support and has really led me to a life beyond my wildest dreams, like just really being present in the moment, knowing when to pause and just keep connecting to my higher power and the food is neutral, thank God. And I'm just so, so grateful that I could walk through anything with my fellows and support from this group and just hear the message of how I can live life to its fullest, even in trying situations. Thank you so much. That's all I have.
Thank you, Shandel from New York. My thoughts and prayers are with you and your family and your daughter. Thank you to everyone for sharing today. We are now going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you. This is Penny L.C. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you